This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a way back Wednesday, I got hour number three, songs that remind you of your high school days. Barry, I got to tell you, Pepper doesn't know when to say when. He's still out there hammering the Frank Gore selection, and his argument is that, you know, he's just getting rewarded for longevity. He was never looked at as one of the best running backs in the game. I think you forget how good he was with the Niners. I think you forget he might not have been number one at a given year, but I guarantee you he was in the top three or four for a lot of years. Again, productivity-wise, from a fantasy football perspective, I'm sure a lot of people will tell you that he was a stud for them because he was just a yard collector. You know, he was getting yardage, and he was doing the things necessary to create balance for a team by having an outstanding running game. So I'm not going to waver on that, no matter what, you know, Pepper might think. I hate to break it to you. I don't know if it's something personal or maybe he cost you a fantasy football title, but Frank Gore was, I mean, he was a stud for a lot of years.
Okay, so Trey chimes in and says that Roger Staubach was the best quarterback of the 70s. I think Terry Bradshaw,
I was going to say Trey,
and Dan Fouts would all have something to say about that as far as
titles?
Play on the field. Because remember now, if you're just going to go titles, then take Dan Marino off this list of the top 100 of all time.
Oh, what, he only made the Super Bowl once in his whole career, and it was his rookie year.
Yeah. So, you know, look, Namath played through 77. There's plenty of names you can find that played in the 70s that I think were better than Roger Staubach.
Who was Staubach's nemesis who ended up with more titles? Terry Bradshaw. So, again, don't give me that outlandish statement that Staubach is the quarterback of the 70s. Come on, man. Trey, you're better than that. I know you're a Cowboy fan, Trey, but that's weak.
And I'm not even a Terry Bradshaw fan on the field. I'm a big fan of his off the field.
Yeah.
But I think he's one of those, somebody mentioned it, that he could be, you know, his stats and his stuff is kind of like Troy Aikman, where you're not going to penalize the guy because of the talent that was around him, but he certainly did benefit from it. Not saying he wouldn't have been good without him, but boy, he sure did benefit from it.
His biggest shortcoming that he was lacking was teeth. I mean, other than that, I mean, he did everything. He checked every box in the 70s in terms of leadership, passing, winning, you know, everything that he did. And then, again, you look at the team of that decade in terms of wins. It's just, you know, it's very tough for you to go against him.
Yep.
So I'll just throw that out there. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, I alluded to this earlier, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on this. But remember when Matt Rhule from Baylor took the job at Carolina, he had said, you know, he was doing the coaches speak, and Cam is our guy, and we look forward to sitting down with Cam. And then a few weeks ago after they let Cam go, just a difficult decision, so tough for us. Now he's out there today doing a video conference saying it was the best thing for our team to move on from Cam Newton and go with Teddy Bridgewater. I have no doubt he'll play well. He's a great quarterback. We have all seen that what he has done. I just think as we move forward, we thought this was the right time for us. We saw the opportunity to get Teddy, felt like he was the right fit for us. So we went ahead and made the call, not an easy call, but we thought it was the best one moving forward.
Well, I guess the truth does come out in the end, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know what? I think more than anything else, if coaches, again, they like to do the spin. But I think honesty is the best policy. Again, we go back to the Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens and how they handled the steroid situation and so many of those type deals that we bring up. In this case, if I'm Matt Rhule, I just come in and go, you know what? I'm going to do things my way. And if I'm going to be responsible for my time here in Carolina, then I want to have my system and the right players I feel comfortable with to execute it. And for whatever reason, Cam to me isn't a fit for what I want to do, how I want to do it, or even, you don't have to go specifics, but say, you know, and how his personality fits with what I want to execute in the locker room and on the field. I think people respect that a whole lot more than 1 minute saying this was so tough and I didn't want to do this, and then, you know, turn the page and go, yeah, this was just the right move to me at the end of the day, and it better fit with Teddy Bridgewater.
I agree, but I was hearing you say that. Can it not be a tough decision, but you still realize that it was the right decision? I mean, can it be both?
I mean, it can, I guess. I mean, this goes back again to like your Brady Belichick thing. It can be, but I think that we've seen too many times where people, coaches and organizations are too focused on trying to please the media or get the right reaction so that they don't get any negative publicity from the media, instead of just being honest and calling it exactly what it is. And in this case, I don't think you hurt anybody by that. Obviously, Cam doesn't have a job right now, but I'm pretty darn sure he's going to find one. And I just think it would be easy for all of us to digest.
Yeah, I agree with that. It wouldn't have hurt to come out because, like you said, it kind of proves the – hey, I've taken control of this team, and this is the direction that I want to go. And you know, you're kind of showing that. Look, if this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Now, me personally, I don't even know that it was smart to go with Bridgewater as your guy. That seems like a bit of a risk.
Oh, but nobody's
talking about that move.
Well, but here it is, because Matt Rhule said, in a year like this, especially when we're all kind of in our homes, Teddy's a guy who has been in this offense. He knows the system, he knows this offense, and he also has great familiarity with new offensive coordinator Joe Brady, so it made sense to us. So it's not so much a comparison to me of Teddy versus Cam, it's sort of the opportunity for us that we took. And that is at least the honesty that I can roll with, because regardless of whether no one knew this pandemic was coming, but when he took the job, he has an offensive system in mind. He hired Brady, who's going to run it a certain way. Teddy's run with run an offense with Brady being around before. So I'll take that as the right reason for saying that I went with Bridgewater over Cam. Plus, you don't know how healthy Cam is. You could pass a physical, but you don't know if that passing a physical means he's football ready.
No, my point was, I get if you move away from Cam. I totally get that. But you move away from Cam and go with Teddy Bridgewater, and you feel like that was your best option in free agency or otherwise, was to get to go with Teddy Bridgewater, like this is your solution at quarterback? That one seems a little more risky to me.
Who would you have gone instead of Teddy Bridgewater? Because you don't – I think if you're just honest with yourself, Carolina's not going to win a Super Bowl this year. So you're not going to go with the Brady or Rivers type. You're looking for a guy that you can build around. Bridgewater's still relatively young, not a whole lot of miles except for the knee injury, simply because he's been a backup and played in short doses, but has impressed. And he's not going to cost you the 30-plus mil that the guys we're talking about in free agency this year have been reeling in. You're not going to get Dak right now. So you go get a guy that is pretty – for his experience and his youth and his success rate, is pretty inexpensive. You get rid of the 20 a year, whatever you were going to pay Cam. And if it works, great, and you build around him. And if it doesn't, hey, he's a short-term bridge to a long-term solution, and then you work through the draft.
I mean, you had the 7th pick in the draft. You potentially could have moved up if you felt like one of the quarterbacks that's coming out now was your guy. But it feels like that I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater is the guy you build around. You know what I mean? And if you're Matt Rhule, you've got to prove yourself, and you've got to go in and say, we're going to start. It starts and ends with a franchise QB. Everybody knows that that's the key to success in the NFL. Now, does it guarantee you success? No, but it's certainly the cornerstone of it. So I feel like, okay, do you trade, you know what I mean? Do you trade the 7th pick and try to go get a Dak? Or do you trade the 7th pick and try to go get another quarterback? Or do you use the draft to build it? There could have been better options.
Yeah, but again, you're not looking for a quick fix just in year number one either, too. You're looking at it and going, you know what? If I think that between either Love or Herbert and Tua and Burrow are all going to be gone before I pick. And yeah, I could consider moving up. But maybe one of those guys I'm not enamored with. I know I can't get Joe Burrow, which would be the ultimate guy for Brady. as well as Rule, who's had experience, you know, and seen him play, and he's young. But if not, maybe down the road, maybe in a year or two, you realize that's the year of the draft of the kind of quarterback that I want, and you go get him, or someone in free agency. But for a lot of reasons, and sometimes we don't know all those details, coaches, they play their, you know, they want who they want. And we've seen that with Gruden. So Matt Rule, maybe not any different. If he's got a certain characteristic and skill set type that he's looking for in a quarterback, and the guys that, you know, for the options that you gave just weren't there, then he goes a different way.
Okay. I just, man, I could see you trying to move up. Now, that means, because I was looking at LZ's mock draft, and he's got Burrow 1, 2, 3, and Justin Herbert 5. Yep. So that means, do you think that you could, you know, could you move up and get one of those guys? Could you jump to 4 and grab Justin Herbert? Because I'm sure that the Giants would because the Giants, he had the Giants getting an offensive tackle, but he also had the Panthers getting an offensive tackle at 7. So if you swapped first round picks and threw in something else, as much as the Giants are rebuilding, I'm sure they would do a deal like that. I absolutely.
Well, Gettleman's like basically he's hanging on by a thread. So whatever he can do to strengthen his team, if he could add a pick or 2 picks, that would be great for them. And it is a quarterback-heavy draft in terms of demand, because you look at that, the Chargers sitting there with everything that you just named, and the Chargers are at 6, and the Chargers need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you've got all the potential for all of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks.
Well, no, Chargers are 3, not 6.
No, that's if they moved up in trade. Right now they're not 3.
Oh,
the
okay,
Lions
okay.
right now yeah, are yeah, currently yeah. 3. The Chargers are at 6.
Oh, right. I was looking at Lance's thing.
Lance is probably projecting a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and someone moving up. But, you know, if that's not the case, or even, and if that is the case, then the quarterback, there's an even higher demand. But when you look at who's out there, you know you're not going to get Tua or Burrow. So then you just got to say, well, can I see myself building around Herbert or Love? And if I can't, then it behooves me to go into free agency and get a guy like Bridgewater that bridges the gap.
Well, I'm just going to ask you this, and I know we got to get out of here in just a second, but if you're Matt Rule, and obviously he would rather build around Teddy Bridgewater, but would you rather move up to the 4 spot and get Justin Herbert and build your team around that, or would you rather build around Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm asking you, what would you do?
Herbert, to me, I mean, he kind of feels to me like the kid from the Jets. To me, he feels like a guy that has the prototypical size and, you know, quarterback characteristics and all those things, but he doesn't wow me. He doesn't make me think, well, there's a guy that's going to be one of the best for the next 10 years.
But
so
Bridgewater
if
does?
I'm not sold, no, follow me here. So if I don't think that Herbert's the guy, then I'm going to wait till there's a year where I think that there's a guy or two guys or a couple guys that I feel like they could take me for the next 5 to 10 years. And I'll wait. So the bridge between now and then is going to be Teddy Bridgewater, no pun intended. And then I can analyze Teddy Bridgewater, and who knows, maybe he turns out to be great for us. But if not, then I've got a couple years to buy time to where I can make a deal or do what I need to do to get in position to get a guy that I do feel has those characteristics.
Fair enough.
You like Herbert?
I think I would like him better than Bridgewater, because you've seen what Bridgewater is, and I think he benefited immensely from the Saints, because he was good in Minnesota and he was good in New Orleans, but I just don't feel like Teddy Bridgewater is the guy you look at and go, all right, we can get to a Super Bowl with this guy.
I mean, Sam Darnold, that's a guy that you've been critical of. Don't you? Do you think that he's better than Sam Darnold?
Yes, I do think he's better than Sam Darnold, but we had the opportunity to look and see what Sam Darnold is.
Sure.
That's the whole point of getting a draft like that, is if they evaluate him and think, okay, we think we can win with Herbert, let's find out. I would rather go that route, because you know what Bridgewater is. You know, you're maybe a wild card team, you know, first round bounce every year in the playoffs. If that's what you want, then great.
I think it's kind of unfair, too. Teddy's, you know, until we see what Teddy can be in a full season. You know, we know he was pretty decent with the Vikings, so yeah. All right, well, we will we'll see. If you guys want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776. You can text or call that number. You can hit us up on Twitter as we roll through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The
Rude and Ray Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Final hour of the show rolls on. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick's taking the schedule to heart and making sure he stays safe. So Aaron Rabel doing us a favor, filling in the final 2 hours of the show. Dell head hour number one. Barry and I are here for all three. We take you till four. Blitz takes you till seven, so you'll be entertained throughout your day and evening. As if you didn't already know, if you miss any portions of the show, all you got to do is go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. Menu drops down, catch up on the hours you missed, and then while you're there on the front page, you can download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another ESPN show.
Do it! Ding! They don't know. Aaron don't know that you're supposed to play the ding correct bell. Even though I've always been weirded out that that's the wrong answer bell in a spelling bee. But otherwise, it's a correct bell.
Okay.
Spelling bee does it all wrong. That's not like the shame bell from the Blitz.
Yeah, the other thing that they do all wrong is they call it after a certain amount of time. Yeah, we're out of words. You 10 win. Nope. Keep going. Give them some simple words. See if they screw that up, because then you'd really be doing something. Because, man, that's painful to watch. I know a lot of some people find entertainment in watching the spelling bee, but every time, every word, can you use it in a sentence? Can you give me the definition? Can you do this again? Just stop it. Either you know it or not, and give it a shot.
No, and they're stalling. But, you know, the etymology, is it etymology? I don't know. The origin of the word and all that matters, because that dictates spelling. For example, the word center, C-E-N-T-E-R. Here in the States, we spell it the right way, C-E-N-T-E-R. Up there in Canada, they spell it the wrong. In France, I guess French Canadians, I don't know, C-E-N-T-R-E. Whatever, that's stupid. So the origin of the word can't help.
Okay. Well, then you enjoy watching spelling bee. Look, there,
and we all know I'm a spelling expert.
You could pass the time. Yeah, you and spelling synonymous.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had to block anyone for correcting my spelling because I'm an awful speller. I've never had to do that. So,
now, I don't know if you saw this or not. Diana Rossini of ESPN was reporting this yesterday, but I think a lot of good things happening from an NFL perspective. They probably won't give the XFL credit, which they should do, but they're saying that a skybox official in stadium is something that they are very interested in pursuing for this upcoming season, and that they have not had anybody inquire about continuing with the challenge flag for pass interference. So if things go as they currently stand, you will not be able to challenge pass interference either way anymore. It'll be a one and done. And instead of having to go back to New York to get the ruling on any kind of replay, it will be an official in the stadium, in the skybox, that will make and determine the call with the officials on the field. And even more importantly, he will be part of a crew that works together every single week. So there's continuity. I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. I think that's a good idea. But this whole notion of nobody wants to be able to challenge pass interference is BS. They did that by not overturning it when they should have. How many times did they get it wrong even when looking at a replay? It was overwhelmingly awful last year, the way that the NFL handled
replay. Well, and you know, Barry, the only reason why they did it, period, was they were covering their ass for the Saints game. That's all. It was a season-long worth of games elongated and calls with no consistency, all because of the fact that they didn't get it right in the Saints game.
Right. And so their whole point was, look, we're going to do this because, you know, we don't want to have to listen to the Saints and the Saints fans cry anymore. But so we're going to put it in place, but we're not overturning anything. The way, whatever it is on the field, that's probably what we're going to go with more often than not. And now they go, well, you guys want this? And everybody goes, no, because you guys didn't use it. And then, oh, well, we tried.
To your point, that's the thing that we talked about throughout the year that frustrated us the most. At least in the NBA, it might elongate the game a little bit more for whatever reason, but the whole goal is to get the call right at the end of the day. But when you intentionally on replay can see, and layman can see, that that was blatantly PI, and they won't overturn a call and get
or
the
not.
Call right. Right, one way or the other, they won't do the right thing to get the call correct simply because they don't want, you know, to have like some kind of a norm going on and where everybody's going to be doing this all the time, and for whatever reason, they don't want to hear the backlash. Look, just admit it. You screwed up the Saints game. If nothing else, how about this? Take it out for the regular season, but when it matters the most in the playoffs, then you can do it because that's going to be where you're going to hear about it. The ramifications are so much more severe because it's so the stakes are so much higher. Let them do it in the playoffs.
Well, the only reason you can't do that is what if it's week 17 and the Titans and the Texans
point.
Are playing for the division title and winner goes and loser goes home because there's no wild card coming out of the division. So you have to have it in the regular season if you're going to do it. The NFL really botched it, and it's just a bad look to me. But no one's going to care at this point because they're just like, just give me football, whatever. If there's bad calls, I'll take it. This is awful. So whatever you guys want to do, let's just get football on the field.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all plays out on the final decision. But I do really like the fact that the XFL – now, if they would actually do what they'll never do, which is the transparency of miking up that Skybox official – so we could hear what they were talking about when they were doing it. I think that would be even better. But look, one step at a time and baby steps. If that means that they're that much closer to making sure they just get the calls right at the end of the day, that's what we've always said is the most important thing. So hopefully they get that done.
Yeah. You know, we usually get updates from the Real D Green on Twitter about the numbers for the coronavirus. And he said something that I don't know to be true. I'm going to have to Google this. But he said that Houston could be the next hot spot. I think I'm seeing reports that it could pick up, but I don't know. He said the CDC is saying that, but I Googled CDC Houston next hot spot, and I'm not seeing it, but maybe I'm not looking in the right spot.
When you look at the numbers as they relate to the rest of the nation, especially big city-wise, Houston's doing pretty damn good. So I responded to him right away because I questioned it. Simply because he does send us numbers, but on the news every night when you see New York and the entire state of and even them, New York's numbers are starting to come back down. California coming back down. We knew New Orleans was a hot spot this in the last week or so. But for the most part, Houston has stayed pretty manageable that it surprised me that all of a sudden that they would be the next hot spot.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. They're working on a vaccine at Texas Children's. That's where Nora works.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
This one doctor, Hotez, said that it could be, but I don't see where the CDC is saying that. So I don't know if you've got a source, Mr. Green.
Well, but Barry, here's what I will tell you.
Because when he gives us the numbers, he gives us the source. So I want to see the source on that piece of information.
The only thing that I would say that lends itself to leaning his way is, why in the hell would they be building this massive $60 million temporary hospital structure in the parking lot of NRG if they didn't know something we don't know about what's to come? Because we see the numbers every night. We know that they are, like I said, pretty darn good compared to the rest of the nation. And then all of a sudden you see that they're spending $60 million. The city is building a temporary hospital to house like 250 beds. Well, I saw a report from Memorial Hermann or one of the hospitals 2 days ago that said we still have a ton of respirators and a ton of available beds if we do, in fact, see a spike. But we feel pretty good. If they're building that thing, there's got to be a reason why.
Well, yeah, and it's called being prepared because that's what, like, there was towns in Virginia and other places where they're like, hey, look, if you sit around and wait like New York did or in general the U.S. did, because let's be real, Trump didn't think this was going to be a big deal. So we sat around and waited, and now it was too late. I think Mayor Turner in Houston in general and you know, Harris County and the judge, they're all saying we're not going to wait. We're going to be prepared. We're going to have the beds ready to go because a two-week ramp up is just going to kill the hospitals. So kudos to them for preparing, if nothing else.
So Cobos Q, our man, says – New York neighbors work in the Memorial Hermann system. He says the same. Harris County is going to peak in about 3 weeks. And your boy D. Green says he'll work on finding the source. So we've got suspects at hard at work getting us information as we roll through the final hour of the show. 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the final half hour. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The rhyme, draw the plans, draft the diagrams, an architect in effect and it slams. And if we went up.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, is let's do this.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Aaron Raybould as we roll through a way back Wednesday. Barry, I'm happy to report, and very relieved, I must say. AllSafe did a fantastic job today. They came and checked out all my electrical outlets, did a bunch of stuff, and in the process, the dude even found the cap to the light that was stuck in the bushes right by my neighbor's house. And without saying a ton more about it, all the problems, save me a bunch of money. And so I'm very much relieved because anything electrical, I was thinking the worst. And so it looks like I'm going to escape on this one.
Well, that's good. Did he have a theory as to how the light cap got? Is that what you can't talk about? Is that the details?
No,
us?
And you were right. So the thing is, there was a
of course
couple
I was,
things.
Joel.
I kept. Okay. Well, then I don't need to go any further. so the, what do you call it? The GCI?
GFCI.
So there was one that you could not see that was hidden in our garage behind the plug to the treadmill. And that was the one that would reset all of the outlets. So he showed me where that was. So now I can get all those outdoor outlets to work again. And then in terms, I was right in the fact that in terms of the one light that didn't have the cover on it, I don't know for how long, looking down, I could see some condensation. He tipped it over, and water came rushing out. Mm. And so I was like, well, then I got to replace that. And you know, if I can't find them, then I got to get all new ones. Not only did I not have to replace it, he did tests on all of it. He goes, it's wet in there. He goes, but when it dries out, it's going to be just fine. He goes, just let it dry out. And he goes, good luck finding the cover. And as while he's down there drilling it back into the wall, he goes, oh, and hang on, is this what you're looking for? And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, that alone, for the goose chase trying to find a replacement cover for the canister, the light canister, I was like, nope, this dude is fantastic.
So is your neighbor trying to rob your house? Is that why it was over in his yard?
No, we think the kids actually just threw it because there were two of the four lights were unscrewed. One of them was hanging on by one of the screws, and the other one, I don't know why they threw it. I don't know if they – because I'm trying to think about – I would see, because these things are hard to find, that the neighbor kids were trying to get one because they're missing one at their house. But I don't know what the end game is if you take it off and then you don't end up keeping it.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I don't know.
Unless you just want people's electrical systems to short out and have problems.
I'm going to go with your neighbor is trying to rob your house. I'm going to go with that.
I did investigate more cameras for the house after this. I'm not going to lie. My doorbell camera did not get the right angle in the front of the house to see this. So I talked to my buddy, and he was giving me some details on getting some of these internet cams set up so that I can keep better surveillance of the property.
Oh, you're going to get some internet cams. You're going to be a cam whore one day or what?
You never know. I mean, depending on how long this pandemic keeps going, I might have to make some extra cash.
I like it. Yeah, Joel.
So
show
deep
me what
breath,
you got.
Sigh of relief.
Joel
and, oh,
Little.
By the way, last night while we were dealing with all this and I was trying to deal with the light and see if I could figure everything out, Lisa goes up, the air conditioner's not working upstairs. Oh, boy. So they're coming after the show. Let's keep our fingers crossed we can go 2 for 2.
Goodness
with that
gracious,
being said,
you've...
yeah, it's been just an average
having a hell of a time
at the Blank household. Yeah. Jeez. Mm. Could have asked for a whole lot more than this, but I'll deal with it. I don't know where you're at on this, but I could care less. And that's shocking, I think, you'll find out for me. The NBA has announced that they're going through with this horse competition. And it just the thought of NBA players playing virtual horse in different gyms with cameras does nothing for me. But now, Barry, not only is it going to be Chris Paul, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, and other NBA stars, but what makes it even worse, now WNBA players and NBA alumni are also going to take place or take part in the competition. I'm out. I don't want to see any of it. I'd rather watch the video game.
Why are they doing it that way? That I don't like that at all.
Just so they can stay relevant. Just so people can say, and because they know there's absolutely nothing to watch on sports-wise right now, that someone might want to watch this and that they might be able to do something for their partners. Because otherwise, this belongs even lower on the dial than the Ocho. I have no interest in this.
Yeah, it's not a very sexy idea to water it down like that. It's not a great idea to begin with, but then now you're just basically going to go water it down. Yeah, I'm not feeling that, but maybe they know something we don't. Would you? So you're not going to watch it at all?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Even though there's nothing else.
Did you watch the video game competition between the NBA players where the huge upset was Kevin Durant, number one seed, out in round one? Because I certainly didn't.
Yeah, I did, and it was riveting. Just kidding. I didn't watch that. Are you kidding me? Why on earth
would
I watch that?
You probably don't even know because I didn't even know. It's still going on. They've spread it out over 2 weeks, and they haven't even gotten down to the final two competitors yet.
So is it online or is it like how are they doing it? Is it just online only
they
or is it on NBA Network?
They were doing it live on ESPN.
Really? ESPN is streaming video games now.
Yeah, so ESPN was showing the matchups and then they would have in the little windows within the screen the two players with their headsets on and they were mic'd up obviously so you could hear them talking garbage to each other while the game was going on. And then the game itself going on, and they ran back-to-back-to-back games on the first night. I could care less.
I don't even understand the Twitch culture, and I tried to do it, and I still have people that are like, man, you should hop back on Twitch. And I'm like, I don't understand watching other people play video games. I would rather play myself, not with myself. I would rather play the video game myself than to watch it. But now, I will say this. There is some value in it when I can't get past a level. And then a person has put a video out on how to get past a level. That I see. But just to watch Kevin Durant play a video version of himself? Nah, I'm good on that player. I don't need to see that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like you could do a lot of things. I'd rather watch replays of games. Like you said, if I don't know the outcome or I don't remember the outcome, like they played the 82 NCAA final between Georgetown and Carolina. And I don't remember if Ewing's team won or Jordan's team won. I'm watching that. And I'm watching how many NBA players were on the floor and Jordan at a young age, things like that. I'm more compelled to watch that than I am going to watch a horse competition or video games. I don't think I'm in the minority there either.
Probably not. I none of that interests me, if I'm being honest. I mean, literally, dude, my TV does not go on anymore. I'll every night turn it on for about 10 minutes. I'll watch Fox News, I'll watch CNN, and then I turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa has it on for the news. I'm with you. I've tuned out on TV, which is, I guess, maybe a good thing. But yeah, I'm not watching TV at night.
Yeah, I don't. Not my thing. Can't do it right now. I've realized how much I don't like. I don't like having sports. I realized how much not having sports is bothering me. Because again, like I said the other day, I didn't watch it all the time, but I had it on. Like right now, I'm working in my office and I'm trying to get all these live chat things going, and you know, there's a lot that goes on afterwards that I'm enjoying doing. Actually, by the way, I have Lance Erline tonight on the live chat. So 7 p.m. on YouTube and Facebook at Barry is Funny. Come hang out with Lance. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Lance. I was like, hey. we don't even have to talk sports because both of us do that every day. He goes, yeah, let's cover everything else. I was like, that's great. That's what I want. I don't want to just talk sports. So Lance and I are going to talk everything but sports today. But I like doing this stuff. I would normally have on sports in the background and, you know, look over, check the score, see what's going on. None of that happens now, man. And it sucks.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's actually sounds like it would be a good show tonight. So that should be good. And everybody should check that out because you and Lance just kicking it. Would be some good stuff. I'm you know what? When I'm off the air here, I handle a couple of things with the baby and Lisa. I go for a run or I work out and then shower up, eat dinner, spend some time with the kids, do some things around the house. I'm trying to utilize this to kind of catch up on more time with the family, more time to get like the honeydews out of the way that I didn't have regularly. And just I don't miss anything but sports. You're right. I do miss. And even Drew Brees said, the American people really need sports right now more than a lot of people ever realized, and it's true.
Yeah. By the way, somebody texted the show, said, love the show, guys. Thanks for keeping us sane in these crazy times. What's going on with the first hour podcast? It's only 7 minutes long. So, Aaron, I don't know how to fix that or what, but I think they're looking for the podcast. Okay.
Cool. They shouldn't be listening to it until at least 7 o'clock anyways.
Good point.
Why?
Because you need to stay here the whole time. Stay live and then catch up on the rest of it later.
Not 7 o'clock because that's when I go live. 8 o'clock, 8:30.
That works too.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like one of these teachers that's trying to get their students, by the way, to do their online assignments and, you know, continue with the curriculum. Juggalo Trey is so worked up about what we said about Roger Staubach that he has like scoured the internet for stats and trying to justify everything for Staubach. I feel like I finally got my problem child to focus online, and I could not be happier about it.
That's funny.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it next. Turn over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. No, but you know it ain't all about wealth. As long as you make a
note to spread yourself. ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Joel, and Aaron filling in for Nick today as we're... Nick's going to stick to the producer schedule for a while and play it safe because I talked to him yesterday. He had some concerns about traveling back and forth. He was wearing gloves and he's got, you know, he's basically holding down the fort for his whole family. So I give him credit for being able to do that. We miss him and hate to see him step away a little bit for being here daily, but we understand completely why he's doing what he's doing.
Totally understand. And happy he's taking precautions to be safer. Real quick, let me get to these texts.
All right.
But so somebody said my wife works at Texas Children's Hospital in the Med Center. They deserve much credit for continuing the amazing work. Yes, kudos to your wife and thank her for what she does. Somebody said the weirdest thing about the NBA 2K tournament is that the guys aren't even playing with the team they're actually on.
That's true.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because ESPN is doing everything they can to be at the beck and call of the NBA. On the crawl, Barry, if you watch any ESPN programming, like when they would do scores for the night, they do the results of the 2K tournament. And then one of the first stats they point out about the victory by, say, DeAndre Ayton, was he played as the Bucks. The Bucks teams are now 4-0 when used by NBA players in this competition. Who cares?
That's so weird. I feel like you should have to play as your team. What does it say about you that you look at it and go, well, I feel like the Bucks are the best team in the NBA, so that's who I'm going to choose.
And you go by the rankings and the ratings, but then if you're Devin Booker, you might as well just go to the go.
You're screwed.
Netflix. You ain't winning. That's just the way it goes.
It is a weird thing, though, where you're Devin Booker and you're like, I'm going to beat anyone but the Suns. So
you want to talk about booking the odds? How about giving me the Suns and telling me I got to beat somebody that's playing with a way better rated team than me? Nope, not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Hey.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I just thought this was kind of funny, but it's also very true. But you know, like, we hear about the legendary stories of, like, down at Fondy when Moses was teaching Akeem, and the games at Fondy were so legendary, and we hear all the different stories about who did well, or the playgrounds in New York. Well, lately, it's come out that 17-year-old Kobe Bryant, when growing up in Philly, used to play against the 76ers players in the offseason. And it's gotten to the point where stories are getting out that Jerry Stackhouse was annihilated by Kobe Bryant and beaten consistently one-on-one and in games and all this other stuff. And if anybody knows Jerry Stackhouse, you and I have talked a lot about, like, the all-fight team in the NBA and guys you don't mess with. He's an underrated guy that needs to be on that list.
Really?
Jerry likes to fight, and Jerry is tough, and Jerry doesn't take a lot of guff. So he did Woj's podcast, and he wanted to put it all to bed right away. He's like, let me be honest. What happened with Kobe was nobody wanted to play with him because he doesn't pass. He goes, Lionel Simmons, who was an all-star, used to pull him aside and say, man, you got to pass the ball. You got to learn how to do this. Because the older guys are from Philly. These stories take on a life of their own. And, yes, Kobe had some good days scoring the ball because he could handle it so well. But he had tunnel vision at that point. And you had pickup games where sometimes he didn't even get picked. But, again, because he's so great since then, these stories go back to, he beat Stack one-on-one. Man, 20-year-old me, this is Jerry Stackhouse talking. Come on, man. Me at 20. Can you imagine a 17-year-old beating me consistently? I'd have hurt him first, real talk. Just physically, that could never happen. Did we play one-on-one? Yes. Did he beat me, maybe win a game? Sure. Did he consistently beat Jerry Stackhouse at 20 when he was 17? Hell no. I'm putting an end to that story. Was he super talented? Sure. Yeah, with all those scenarios, Kobe Bryant, they're a little bit different story when you go talk to the people that were actually there. Okay?
Wow. Yeah, I like that. His Stackhouse. I like it because, look, a lot of people would shy away from having that conversation or saying those things because Kobe's no longer with us. And you feel, and right. It's still very fresh on everybody's minds and still pretty new. And, you know, if he does this 5 years from now, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But the fact that he's doing it now is it's like, that's pretty ballsy because you're basically saying, yeah, Kobe wasn't all that to me at this time. So.
Yeah, well, but at least there are probably still plenty of guys that were in the gym that could have backed it up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's the luckiest guy in the world, too, is John Lucas. Because if you think about it, first of all, that was totally illegal, what the Sixers were doing if Kobe was ever practicing with the Sixers. But Luke was the coach in Philly when Kobe was in high school, and he would bring Kobe around. Luke was the coach in Cleveland when LeBron was in high school. And he brought LeBron around. Luke's got relationships with two of the greatest players in NBA history because of the fact that he was in the right place at the right time. So that's pretty awesome in itself.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I had friends in Cleveland that said, I think they actually got fined for doing it. But Luke was like, Luke's always trying to help people. He's like, I got a high school kid that might end up being one of the greatest of all time that wants to look for a good place to play against real competition. Why wouldn't I bring him in?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a stupid thing. The kid's still in high school, but I do get it. You start to develop those relationships.
And yep.
Yep.
Well, you enjoy Lance Zierlein tonight, my friend, and let me know how it goes in the morning. But another Way Back Wednesday is behind us, but we appreciate you suspects hanging along with us for the ride wherever you may be. For Barry, I'm Joel. For Aaron Raybould, have a great night, everybody. Aaron's sticking around. It's Fred and AJ in the Blitz. They'll take you till 7 right here on ESPN. Have a good night. Please come out and die. Please come out and die. Please come out and die.
go out at night. They like to wear leather jackets, chains and spikes. They wear rips and zippers all in their shirts. Real tight pants and fresh mini skirts.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.